You see, there is so much uncertainty and fear in the hearts of so many people. When you think about what's going on in the world, you know, it's like, how is it that you will live fearless life when you listen to the news, you look at what's going on, a war between two nations, and you know, and many people will love to pray for peace between Russia and Ukraine. And you see that even though we're not there, it's affecting the whole world. All you gotta do is look at the gas prices now and other things and food and things like that, because you know there's something that is affecting the whole world. And so it's hard to be cool in the midst of adversity. It's hard to keep going when the going gets rough. You know, like I said, for some people, they will love to pray for world peace. The only thing is, when I think about world peace, I hate to break it to you guys, but we wouldn't have world peace in this life, in our lifetime, wouldn't happen. You know what? How I know that? The Bible says that there will not be peace. Why? Because we're dealing with sinful attitude, and sometimes somebody wants power, and he or she will do whatever he wants to dominate, and that's going to be happening until Jesus comes. The Prince of Peace will come, and then you and I will have peace. But yeah, now you can pray for peace between those two nations, that they finally come to an agreement and stop fighting. I mean, that's a great prayer. You know, but conflict, there might be those two today, tomorrow might be two other nations. Jesus said that there will be rumors of war and war. He said that about 34, 35 AD. And since that moment on, there's been wars in various places. And he said, but still, that's not the end. So what Jesus is saying is that we're going to be experiencing turmoils and conflicts and war even until he comes back again. So that kind of prepares us, like, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Now, you see, for some people, for many of us, peace is circumstantial. In other words, it depends on the situation that I'm in. It depends on the situation, the experience. You know, for instance, for some people, they think that they will have peace of mind when there's no conflict in their lives. Maybe when all my bills get paid, I'd be at peace. When I get all my student loans paid off, then I'd be happy. I'd be at peace. That's circumstantial. That's based on the situation. When there's no virus threatening my life, then I'd be at peace. When everybody likes me, then I'd be at peace. You know, circumstantial, like your peace depends on what people or what somebody would do for you. If there's no conflict, if there is this, then I'd be peaceful. I have a peace of mind, tranquility. Like I said, this peace is circumstantial. And you know, it's interesting because based on what Webster, the dictionary said, that's how Webster describes peace. He said, peace is defined as a state in which there is no war or fighting. It is freedom from civil disturbance, a state of security or order within a community provided by law or custom. So you notice that? A state of security. When I'm more secure. You know, we long for that in our society, to be secure, to be, you know, like I remember people always talk about, you know, I will not get married until I get my financial things in order. If you're waiting for that to get married, you will never get married then. You know, I have kids when this happened. You know, so because people have this idea like, this is what my dream is. Now, I'm not saying don't dream, don't, you know, but sometimes like the inevitable happens and it's like now my peace of mind is out the window. I cannot have peace because things are going around me and I am in turmoil. I don't know what to do. So, you know, I will have peace if that changes. And peace is circumstantial, just like Webster talks about. But what if I told you? What if I told you, like Morpheus would say, that you can have peace right now where you are? Now, I don't know what you're going through right now. We all go through storms. So what if I told you that you can experience peace that you and I would not even understand? That would not depend on your situation, would not depend on the circumstance that you're in. Jesus promises this peace. Now, it's interesting. When Jesus talks about peace, he gave the disciples really devastating news. We go in the Gospel of John by chapter 14. Remember, Jesus started, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I am going there and prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come back. So that where I am, you can also be." And then he says, "You know the way." Later on in chapter 14, he says, "I'm leaving." Jesus is leaving. Now, you know, the disciples, the apostles, for about 3 years, they've been following Jesus. They never thought that he would leave. It's only been 3 years. You know, and Jesus began preaching about the kingdom of God, and we're ready for that kingdom to begin any moment. But now the one that's going to establish the kingdom is going to leave us. Imagine how the apostles felt when they heard Jesus' words, "I'm going away." Devastating news. It's almost like, but what happened to our dreams and hopes and the expectations that we had about you as the Messiah? Chapter 14 through 16, Jesus tells them, "You know, I'm going to leave, and it's better that I leave." Really? How would that be better? Having Jesus hanging out with you, and then he says he's leaving, and he said to them, "It'd be better if I leave. If I don't leave, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come. So I will not leave you orphans," he said. "I'm going to give you another helper. And he's going to be with you and in you." You know, and chapter 14 and 15 of John, Jesus describes the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the apostles and all the things that he will do for them. But you see, the disciples did not want Jesus to leave. You can see the expectation is that Jesus, any moment in their lifetime, Jesus will establish the kingdom of God. That's what they expected. I mean, that was Jesus' first sermon. The kingdom of God is near, it's here. And now you're leaving us? You remember why Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him? Because it's like, that's not what we want you to do, Jesus. And then look at chapter 14 in verse 26, 27. Jesus promises in the midst of mixed, you know, emotions that the apostles are experiencing right now because they just heard their Messiah saying, "I will not be with you for a while." Then John 14, 26 and 27, Jesus said, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Check this out. He says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Wow. In the midst of that turmoil that they experienced, like, "Jesus, you're leaving." Maybe they did not even hear anything else because Jesus just said that he's leaving us. And then he says, "I have told you this." He says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Now, my peace is different from the world peace. The world peace is the absence of war and conflict. That's peace. Jesus said his is different. Jesus, the peace that he's offering is different from the world. The world's peace is circumstantial. Jesus' peace is not. He said Jesus promised peace to his people, and he told them not to worry. You know, we know what worry is all about. We're worried people all the time. Because, you know, we want to find out what's going to happen. And Jesus said, "Do not panic. Do not worry. I gave you my peace." You see, he talked about peace in the midst of the apostles going through their heads. Like, what's going to happen to us then when you leave us? This is right also before Jesus informed them. He says, "You know, when I leave, the world will hate you." Hold on, Jesus. Would you just say that they will all love us? The world will hate you and you're going to be arrested. They're going to throw you in prison. And some of you will die for my name. My peace I leave with you. That you will be hated, you will be persecuted. Okay, hold on, Jesus. You're leaving us and we had to experience all that you just described? I mean, it would be nice to experience that with you over there, but you're leaving and now we're going to be persecuted, hated by the world. He even said, some of you will be scattered, each of you to his own house. I don't know about you, when I read that, that doesn't sound like peace to me, does it? It doesn't sound like the peace of the world is offering to you and me. It sounds to me more like hardships and adversity is coming. And it's going to come to attack the disciples, to persecute them. Somebody's going to be hunting them down, kill them because of Jesus. And then when you go with me now to my text for the sermon, John 16, 33. Just one verse. Because Jesus brings that up again, this idea of peace. Look at what he says. John 16, 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have told you these things. What things? What you read from verse 32 through chapter 14. That the world's going to hate you. That adversity is coming. Persecution is coming. He said, now I have told you these things so that in me, he says, you may have peace. Shalom. In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But be brave. I have overcome the world. Jesus wanted to prepare the apostles. It's like saying trouble is coming, but in me you can have peace. You notice that that's not circumstantial. It says, no, you're going to have peace even when trouble comes. Even when things don't look as you expected, you still can be at peace. Because my peace is not like the world's peace. It's not circumstantial. You see, the idea of peace in the Hebrew, shalom in the Greek, is the idea of harmony, completeness, wholeness. It's a state of untroubled tranquility, wholeness or tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by the outward circumstance or pressures of life. So this peace, this tranquility, this serenity is not affected by what's going on in your world. It's almost like Jesus said, you can have peace even when you are in turmoil, where everything else around you is falling apart. You can still be cool. You can still have that peace. This is what Jesus is promising. In me, he says, you will have peace. And he talked to the disciples, letting them know what was coming. You know, you're here with me. I'm leaving, but conflict is coming. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hunted down. The world will hate you because of me. But in me, you can have peace. In me, you can experience this completeness, this harmony, this tranquility. You see, this peace is not the absence of conflict or war. It is tranquility. It is completeness. It is wholeness in the midst of the conflict. During the conflict, you and I can be at peace. My friends, the world will not give you that. Because remember, Webster, when there's no conflict, then you'll be at peace. Jesus said, no, when there's conflict, you still can be peaceful. You still can experience this peace. Because my peace is not like the world's peace. Jesus' peace is not based on the circumstance that you're going through. Now, Tony Evans, I love his preaching. He put it this way. Peace is where God's calm and God's tranquility overrule your concerns. I mean, we might be concerned about many things, but now God's tranquility, now you overwhelm, you overrule, and you're calm. People look at you and they think you're crazy, because how can you be at peace when, I mean, your bills are not getting paid and you're about to lose the job? I mean, man, I'd be just like pulling my hair like crazy. They don't understand that. The world will not understand why you be peaceful in the midst of conflict and difficulties. You see, that peace that I'm talking to you about is what Horatio Spafford experienced. You know, he wrote a hymn. And we're going to be singing that today. It's you know, he lost his family in the ocean. Wife and kids. You know, and later on, years, he went back to that place where he had lost his family. And he came up with a song. And it's called, It Is Well With My Soul. He found that peace that transcends our human understanding. How can you be at peace, man, when you lost everything? You know, he's like an example of Job in the Bible. I mean, he lost everything. And even his wife finally told him, what are you waiting for? Curse God and die. And he just said, why should I do that? The Lord gave it to me. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, I don't know about you, but many of us, we have not experienced that type of peace that we can just, you know, how can you be okay when, you know, somebody, you know, maybe a family member is about to die and you're praying and things and the Lord's not answering. And then finally, you're saturated. You're overwhelmed with this tranquility that you're just like, okay, yeah, it's going to be okay. Even though when I do not understand. This is the peace that Jesus is talking about, that you and I today are able to experience it regardless of the situation that you're living right now. We all going through storms, and if you're not, get ready, you will. Jesus said, trouble is coming, but in me, you can find peace. Regardless of the situation you're living right now, Jesus said, you can find calmness, tranquility. And by the way, it ain't yoga that he's offering. He says a peace, something that the world will not understand, that you can be okay. You can find tranquility, serenity of life, peace of mind. Even when everybody else in your job, when everybody else in your family is going crazy like a chicken without a head. And you're just like, yeah, I'm okay. People look at you and say, like, how can you be at peace, man? How can you be so calm? Just like the nurse told my dad when my brother was bleeding out at a hospital. It's like, I don't get it. How can you be? Your son is about to die. And you're just like, he's going to be okay. He's like, that's crazy. I think what Jesus is talking about, you and I have trouble understanding until sometimes you get to live that. And people look at you just like, how is it you can be okay when he's not okay? Based on my estimation, no, he's not going to be okay. My dad said, yes, because the Lord doesn't work like that. And I'm hanging on to him. And he experienced that peace. I remember before my brother was, he's going to be here next week, by the way. So when you got to see my brother, so you can see that we look alike. Yeah. I remember before the surgery, the church that I was ministering at, we decided to fast. There were two people with cancer in the church. We prayed and fasted for a while, just on Friday night for them. And so I'm praying for my brother. I brought up my brother's request, and I'm praying. And at that moment, it has never happened to me again. But I tell you, when I was praying for the first time in my life, I'm praying for him, and I just blurted out laughing. Like, you know, it's like, why am I laughing? I'm just praying. I never pray laughing. And it's almost like to me, it's like, you know what? He hasn't had the surgery, but things were going to be okay. And guess what? I stopped praying for him because I said, I think I got my answer now. Mind you, he almost died in the hospital and everybody was going crazy, you know, and my dad just like calm. And he and I were talking to each other, and he just said to me, keep on praying. And then finally the Lord did his thing. You know, he didn't do as we expected. I told you, my brother almost died in that hospital. And who was the first one to walk out of the hospital? Of all the people who had the surgery, he was. And now my brother writes a song. He has a song called, For As Long As I'm Breathing, I'm grateful because you allow me to see the sun again. And sing. And he composes music and things. Now, all because of that experience. So at one time, he, living in Elgin, the doctor told him, you won't be able to sing again. You know, imagine somebody who's a singer when they say, you won't be able to sing again. It's like, newsflash, he's still singing. Now, you know, it's amazing how, because we even have testimonies of women in our church that they had COVID and they probably couldn't sing because they had lung issues. You see, Noemi comes and sings here again. Fran went through hell, like people talk about, you know, through the things that, and they've been singing here. People say, oh, you won't be able to do that again. And the Lord says, watch me. Right. When you said you can, God says, just watch me. And I'm going to show you. Because you say, in this world, you're going to have tribulations and things. But in me, you have peace. Just like that person. The wrote, it is well with my soul, he said. Horatio Spafford. Now, you know who else had peace in the Bible? There was a young man named David. The whole Israelite army was intimidated by a giant, maybe 9 feet tall. I mean, literally a giant. He came for 40 days. He would just come and challenge the army of Israel. He said, give me somebody brave enough to fight me. And if that person beats me, then we all become your slave. But if I win the battle, you'll be our slave. No one was brave enough to come against Goliath. And there were some brave soldiers in the army of Saul. And he took this young man, a teenager, who came to bring some cheese and cake for the brothers who were fighting men in the army. And he heard Goliath's words, give me a man. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines? I go fight him. And so I was like, man, what are you talking about? You're a kid. I mean, again, statistically, it doesn't make sense. He's been a fighting man. And you are You are a shepherd of sheep. Doesn't match. And David said, you know what? I used to take care of my father's sheep, and there was a lion or a bear and came and attacked my sheep. I will go after them. And if they turn on me, I will kill him. He will be just like one of those. And you know, when David goes, finally they're arranging. And Goliath is offended because it's like, this really? This is what you're giving me to fight? A boy? And then he was cursing David in the name of his gods. And David said, you come against me with javelin and spears, all that stuff you have. I come against you in the name of the Lord. The Lord is going to kill you today. And I'm going to feed you to the birds. Because you dare to defy the armies of the living God. The only one who found that peace. When everybody was casting crown, has a song that says, all I ever do to have the faith. You know, when everybody's shaking in their boots, you can say, like, I go and fight him. Why? Because his peace depended on the strength of the Lord. Just like Jesus says, in me, you will have peace. See, David experienced that. He was calm and ready to face the challenge. Even when anybody else in the camp, thousands of soldiers, they were not ready for it. David was looking at somebody else. He had something that the other people in Israel did not have. Christ's peace is not based on the circumstances that you and I may experience. He said you can have peace in the middle of the struggle or conflict. You can be calm. Now, you know, the peace that Jesus is offering is the product or the end result of our identity with Christ. You see, I doubt that somebody who doesn't know Jesus will have this peace, because Jesus talking to his people says, trouble is coming, tribulation is coming, but in me. In is a preposition that indicates placement. You know, for instance, like you are in a house. This morning you got in the car, you were in the bathroom, you might, from here, you go in the kitchen, you are in a sphere. So Jesus says, in me, you have peace. See, it's based on our identity, our relationship with Jesus, that we're going to experience that peace. I have told you these things, he says, so that in me, you may have peace. You see, this type of tranquility, serenity, is only found in a relationship with Jesus. If you and I have a relationship with Jesus, the Bible says you already have that peace. And by the way, if you go to Galatians, peace is also one of the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit lives in you, you have that peace. Perhaps it's not well developed yet. It needs to be harnessed, but you have that peace because if the Spirit is in you, he will produce that in you. This serenity, this tranquility in the midst of struggles and issues. It is based on a relationship with him. You see, I love to define a Christian. A Christian is a person who is in Christ. The Bible says that in Christ, you are a new creation. So Jesus said, you find peace in me. In that sphere, you find yourself in the sphere of Christ. So there's so many benefits for you and I because we are in Christ. And let me show you some. And right on the screen, new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anybody is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has become. New creation, that's your identity now. New identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we are declared righteous before God because in Christ. Because of Christ, you are in him. God sees you as innocent. He sees you righteous, justified. That's all benefit because you are in Christ. Romans 8 verse 1 says, now there is no condemnation or judgment for those who are where? In Christ. You're not judged by God's wrath because you are in Christ. And I love Galatians 3:29 says that you are heirs of the promises that God has made to his people. You know what that means? That you have an inheritance that is out of this world. You're heirs of the promises. Many promises that God has made through the Bible. You and I are partakers. That's what it means. We're partakers. Why? Because we are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not on the list to be partakers of the promises. But because you are in Christ, it says you're heirs of the promises. And then John 16:33, Jesus himself says, I told you these things so that in me, you will find peace. In this world, you have tribulation, but be brave, be courageous, because I have overcome the world. So peace in Christ. It's interesting. He says, take heart, be courageous, be brave. You know how often through the Bible you hear those words? Don't be afraid, be courageous. Joshua, you're going to be the leader of the nation of Israel now. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. See, I will do the rest, but you have to be strong and courageous. You know, Jesus said, trouble is coming, but in me you might have peace. Be brave, even though when trouble comes, because I have overcome. You see, the victorious Christ is offering peace. See, that peace is based on the victory of Jesus over death. Not even death could keep him. And now he's offering peace to you and I. Based on his own victory, I have overcome, and which really, truly is saying to us, you and I also will overcome anything in this world. Seven times through the book of Revelation, when he addressed the seven churches, he says, to him who overcomes, be overcomers. He's calling you and I to overcome. He says, when trouble comes, you know, I give you my peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but be brave. Face those challenges with, you know, courageously, like David faced Goliath, because, you know, victory is ours in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. That's the peace that he's offering to you and I. I have overcome the world. You see, what is Jesus saying to you? That if he overcame the world, nothing that I can possibly face in this world is greater than my Jesus. You're going to go through a lot of struggles and tribulation, war and conflict and pandemics and things. None of that stuff is greater than the Jesus that we praise. Amen? He said he's the overcomer. And he says, you are in the midst of struggle. You are going through tribulations. But in the midst of that, I will make you an overcomer. Because you're going to be calm. You're going to be experiencing serenity in the midst of the conflict. Christ is offering peace to everyone. But my friend, this peace is only found in a relationship with Jesus, in him. You see, Jesus is saying, you don't have to wait for your situation to change. You don't have to wait for things to get better. You don't have to wait for the pandemic to completely end for you to have a peace of mind. Jesus said, you can have it right now in him. Getting to know Jesus, man, your faith will grow. And then you experience this tranquility that the world will not understand. They look at you as like, you got to be completely out of your mind. You got to be from a different world. And well, that's true. Jesus said, our kingdom is not of this world. And in this world, you will experience the peace that transcends our human understanding. Jesus overcame the world. And if you are followers of Jesus, he says, you too will overcome. Only Jesus offers you and I unshakable peace. A peace that's not shaken by the situation. It's not shaken by the circumstances. Because in the midst of the circumstances, you and I can have peace. Paul understood this. It is this peace that keeps you from being anxious in life. You know how many of us sometimes we really get anxious and worry about things? You know, concerned all the time. Paul understood that the peace of Christ will keep you from becoming so anxious. So you want to get rid of anxiety? Because you know all the things that you know, here's a way that you can do it when you experience the peace of Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. He's writing to a church in Philippi. A church that began, by the way, through a whole bunch of women praying by a river. And then Paul went there and visited. They didn't have a synagogue. And then he preached. They became Christians. People met at somebody's house. And then one of the most beautiful letters that he wrote, because he's so grateful to them, because they supported Paul in his missionaries' endeavors. You know, they became partners with Paul by supporting him, giving them aid or money, whatever he needed. And said he writes this letter to thank him. And then listen to what he says in chapter 4. It's almost like a prayer, 6 through 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to give you some homework. Maybe you need to memorize that. Because you're going to walk out of here, and maybe somebody's going to call you and try to threaten your peace. And maybe you just need to go like, don't be anxious about anything. But in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in my heart, present your request to God. And the peace of God, that transcends our understanding. In other words, that the word cannot even understand. The peace of God that transcends my human understanding and my human emotion will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? So, homework, maybe you need to memorize that, because I'm telling you, trouble is coming, Jesus said. It's coming, if it's not here already. But in me, you will have peace. Trouble is coming. Remember the Avengers Endgame? When Tony wasn't talking to Captain America, and the Hulk comes and says, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're talking to him or not, Thanos is coming. So you need to get ready. Jesus said, troubles is coming. And you know, we don't have to form an Avengers team like they did, because we only need one. He says, in me you have peace. Troubles are going to come. I have told you this thing, Jesus said, so that in me, in my relationship with you, you will have peace. And you will overcome. Let's go for that. Amen. Amen.